Hi, everybody. Hello, good evening, good morning. Welcome to episode 10 of the podcast from Better Me, Better Us. I'm Hayley Muir, joined with the fabulous Vicky McEwen. Hello, Vicky.
Good, merry evening, because we are filming this on an evening, which is unusual for us. So please bear with everybody if we're a little bit slow.
Yeah, but it potentially actually fits with the whole theme of today's podcast, which is going to be around mistakes, making mistakes, seeing mistakes as learning opportunities, how we support after mistakes, a general conversation really around that topic. So I'm going to come to you first, Vicky, and just ask for you what your reflections were when we, you know, we came up with this sort of theme a little while ago when we were planning. Where would you like to start? Should we start there? Where would you like to start when you talk about mistakes?
Well, I think it's always useful to start at the beginning, isn't it? And look at our own childhoods and how we experienced making mistakes and how it was responded to. But what's really interesting is when I think of that, and by no means am I perfect, or was I perfect as a child, but I really struggle to think about any sort of significant times that I've made a mistake, which says to me there was something potentially, and I don't want to give my mum and dad too much credit here, potentially.
No, we know Sally's listening.
Means that, yeah, it was responded to quite positively because it hasn't stuck with me as a really shaming, embarrassing experience. At least not because I can't recall anything straight away. It might come back to me. What about you? What was your childhood like in terms of making mistakes?
Wow, definitely don't want to shame anybody, but not your experience. Well, I come from a military background, so I think there's always quite high expectations. It was particularly around things like cleanliness, and I think that was, again, the context we lived in. You got fined if you were living in an army property. You got fined if it wasn't left clean. So if my brother or I were, if we broke something or were untidy, I can remember feeling, I think it is that word, ashamed. Should have tried harder. I'm not a very good person. It came with quite a bit of weight. And this is what's important, because I always know as well, my parents came from the absolute best place to bring up my brother and I. That's influenced massively how I parent and how I deal with mistakes, because I always thought sometimes in our house things would be repeated. So maybe something happened yesterday and now you're still talking about it today. And that was awful because it felt like you couldn't get away from it.
You're not able to move through that shame, are you? And through that feeling, because you're stuck in it and people are reminding you of it constantly.
Yeah. And so you do those things, don't you? So I would flight, go off to my bedroom, or you know, just stay away, or do the fawn of over pleasing.
Yeah, and I think there's something really interesting there, isn't it, in terms of whether as a child then, whether you actually understand what was wrong about your behavior or actions, or whether you're just doing it to avoid conflict or further consequence. It's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And then I went on to boarding school, so I was actually in group living from the age of 8, so to make a mistake was quite difficult sometimes because you weren't with your family.
Yeah.
So it could feel quite big.
That there wasn't the safety there to maybe make a mistake. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Or you covered them up maybe.
And I think things have changed, or I hope things have changed so much in the way that people respond to it. Because I suppose at one time, or I'm wondering if at one time it was quite punitive and there were consequences put in place if people made a mistake. And I would like to hope anyway that we have moved away from that and are a lot more understanding and supportive when people have made a mistake, and recognizing it, like we said at the start, or like you said at the start, as an opportunity for learning and growth.
Absolutely.
And it's actually interesting, because then as you were speaking and I was reflecting further on my childhood, I wonder if there's something about, absolutely not that I didn't make mistakes, because I'm sure I did, but whether there was such a high level of support there, being the first child, first grandchild, that actually I always had people there, which perhaps limited the amount of mistakes I made, which on reflection then maybe limited the amount of learning opportunities. So and I know I've referenced this before, as an adult in work, getting things wrong, it was terrifying for me because I didn't have that experience of knowing how to manage it or riding that emotion and knowing actually this will pass, this is a temporary feeling, and actually it's an opportunity for learning and reflecting on what could I do differently.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't had that experience as a child.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And as you were talking as well, I was thinking about how making a mistake, actually, you're right, we should learn from them. And having, you know, again, you said times have changed. They have. I was born in the 70s. You were born in the 80s. They were two very different decades, very different. And again, we've moved on. Yeah. So I think I was really capturing that the back end of children should be seen and not heard. I can't tell you the amount of times I heard that. So that's the sort of culture that I was brought up in. However, my parents have absolutely evolved, and it makes me laugh now because when I see them with my children, I just think, or if they tell me to, leave, you know, don't tell her off for that, Hayley. You know, she didn't mean to do that. I just think, are you joking me? This is the complete opposite of what I would get. So it's really interesting how people grow and learn anyway, because I'm going to guess that there are times if you are a parent, and I'll speak from my own sort of experience as well, being a parent now, I don't always get it right. Mm-hmm. So like I said to you, I try and take on my learning. But there are some times if I've had a very difficult day or whatever, I might make a mistake in my parenting. But what you said earlier on as well is about that, can we learn from it? And one of the things that I hope that I'm able to do is to sit down with my kids afterwards and say, I owe you an apology because I made a mistake earlier, or I did something that wasn't great. And it's trying to teach them that as well, isn't it? That it's that modeling that it's okay to make a mistake, but then recognize you've done a mistake and what you're going to do about it.
Absolutely. And what I was thinking then was, it's what was huge and what you just said was because you own it. And that's often missing, isn't it? Like as adults, we don't always own it in front of our children. And then what are we modeling to them if we're like not owning that actually we did make a mistake or get something wrong or perhaps didn't communicate in the best way possible? It's so important because our children are also human that we model that we are too as well.
Yeah. And it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to get things wrong. It's how you learn from it. You know, it's not how we fall, but it's how we get ourselves up after that. And I know you and I both as practitioners, when we've worked with families as well, we will both come from that standpoint of a mistake doesn't mean it's all lost. It means, wow, okay, we need to do something different because that doesn't work.
And in fact, with my clients, I often talk about there will be blips. There will be blips along the way because they're not often, or not always, sorry, intentional mistakes, are they? The things that, oh, I hadn't planned for that, so now that's gone wrong and I've made a mistake there. They're not always intentional. Sometimes they absolutely might be intentional when families or individuals have done things which professionals have told them are unsafe and they should not be doing. So that is a very intentional mistake. But it is blips, isn't it? And on that path to healing, recovery, whatever words you want to use. And I think those blips, mistakes are an essential part of growth and change, because without those blips, is that change really sustained and going to be maintained?
You're so right. My best learning has always come from when it didn't go right. When life goes really smoothly, it's just great. You just, you potter on, don't you? But when something hasn't gone quite as well, my goodness, you know, that's when I've had the biggest lessons. And you mentioned something earlier on as well, that you have to let people feel some things sometimes, because in order for that to be a learning experience, don't rescue people straight away. What was it that you were saying earlier on? Allow them.
It's not even necessarily rescuing, is it? When someone makes a mistake and they feel that shame, frustration, anger, whatever it is that they're feeling, which is totally appropriate and individual to that experience, it's allowing them to experience that. Because I think as adults, we often want to move people through that. Well, what can we do so that doesn't happen again? Or what would you do differently next time? And actually, they don't really then truly learn and experience that.
You've got to feel it sometimes, haven't you? And I think that's with good stuff and the difficult stuff. So, when people are, so just going into my profession, when people are doing their job well with their work, It's because they're connected to it. They feel it. They've got that passion. But some of the best work comes out of, oh, that didn't go well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that didn't feel nice. Oh, my goodness, how are we going to learn from that? But like you said as well earlier on, I think we've got to be in a culture where that's okay, an environment that that's all right.
Definitely. And as you were saying that, I was thinking there's something about people making mistakes. But yeah, like you say, the environment allowing for that feedback, because so often something might be a mistake or something might not have gone well. And those around them are like, that wasn't good, was it? But no one's actually voicing that. We're just allowing that person to go through it. And actually it's having the relationships there that you can lean into that and say, oh, that didn't look like it went very well for you, or that looked uncomfortable. But leaning into it rather than, I know in teams that we have worked in together and alongside, mistakes were not allowed. Well, obviously, no one wants to make mistakes. But how they were responded to was so critical and blaming and shaming, and people were often scapegoated, and it just wasn't a great environment to be in, which then for someone thinking about myself, pushes me into being a perfectionist and, oh my goodness, I must get this right and be the best that I possibly can be, which then at some point I am likely to make a mistake purely out of exhaustion, because actually I cannot continue with that way of being all the time. So then I'm likely to make a mistake just because I'm knackered.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is, if you are a professional, that is primarily where mistakes come from, isn't it? Because it's overworked, overstretched. You know, I never believe that somebody goes into work and goes, oh, not in our professions anyway, oh, I'm going to make sure today's really bad for everybody. Mm-hmm. We all go into work with the best intentions, and sometimes it gets really difficult and gets on top. And yeah, it's about being supported by a manager, a team, as well as your family and friends, about how you can get through that. Because what does worry me with some of the younger sort of social media and whatnot, you know, there was this whole cancel culture that was around for a while. And even my kids were saying it, you know, like a pop star that they previously loved, you know, made a mistake, did something, you know, grew up basically in the public eye. And because that was all captured, and then it's like, right, cancel them. They mustn't be allowed to, you know, perform or do this anymore. And it also worries me as well because of young people, and I'm constantly telling my kids this now, got to be so aware of what you're putting on social media, even now, for when you're an adult. Because if you're going for a job, there are people now employed to look at your social media. So if you've made a mistake when you were 15 or 16 and you're going for a job and you're 23, you might not get that job because you made that mistake. Yet when I made a mistake at 15, nobody knows about it.
But even with you saying that, if we think of, we're expecting young people to engage in situations as if they have an adult brain. And we know research shows us that front part of the brain is not fully formed until the 25 in terms of rational thinking and decision-making. And yet we expect them to go into situations, absolutely, such as social media, and think about the long-term impacts and consequences of their behavior. Yet that isn't how they're wired at that time. So we need to then provide that scaffolding, such as you are with your daughters, of educating, supporting, helping them to think about some of the possible consequences of their actions, both now and in the future. But again, so much of that, and you've been able to do that with your daughters, is because of the relationship. For some young people, they would absolutely not feel comfortable having those conversations with their parents.
I know. And it worries me, though, because, yes, you know, we've all read things or heard things on the news about, you know, somebody maybe, it's been more famous people, hasn't it? Celebrities. Ooh, have you seen this that they posted 10 years ago? Yes, it's actually diabolical. It is disgusting. Nobody should be saying things like that. That's hurtful to whoever that, you know, they were abusive about, or the mistake that they were making in their social media post. But that was 10 years ago. So I'd be really curious to have a conversation with them now and see, where is your learning?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you now? Because I am going to take a stab in the dark here, Vicky. I haven't taken a poll. I haven't spoken to people, but I'm going to take a random stab in the dark here. I'm going to guess 99.9% of the world, or particularly the Western world, has made mistakes, things that they cringe about now as adults when they were teenagers, but But if it wasn't captured and it wasn't there, we dig it right deep down and we never talk about it. Some of these kids are making smaller mistakes than we are, but it's out there for public consumption. And it really worries me for their safety moving forward and success.
And I think because of that, and because it is now captured and remembered, I wonder if that is influencing how some parents are supporting, is that the right word? Supporting their young people through this. Because I think, thinking of some of the conversations I've had in recent years with parents, they don't want to create spaces in which their young person has the possibility of even making a mistake for fear of judgment from their friends, grandparents, etc. So they keep their young person's world so small, thinking that it's really helpful and supportive and keeping them safe. But like I said earlier, actually, is it limiting those opportunities for growth and learning just because we don't want them making mistakes because it's going to reflect badly on us?
Yeah. Yes, I think it is a lot of the time. And that links into some of the previous podcasts, doesn't it, that we've talked about who are you pressured by when you're trying to parent? Is it because you're worried about what people are going to say, what they're going to think about you? You know, we know that sometimes grandparents can have a very different view of, grandparents are parents, the kids. It's those different generations, isn't it? And we have to, like teenage years, it's classic. Is there anybody on here that was a teenager and didn't make one mistake? Because it's actually expected. Mm-hmm. You know, we as social workers and therapists, at that stage of development in adolescence, we absolutely expect kids to make mistakes because it's driving those pathways and that learning, isn't it? It's all connected to their neuroscience. And, you know, I'm not a scientist, so I'm not going to get onto all of that stuff. But actually, those feelings of regret, orcs, that didn't feel good. Look at me trying to be down with the kids. Now my kids are cringing because I've just said that. But those awkward, oh, God, oh, I should never have done that. You know, whatever that behavior is as a teenager, you're supposed to be doing that. You're supposed to be doing that now. So that helps you to be a healthy adult that doesn't make those mistakes when you're a grown up.
Well, oh, my goodness, this is a mistake I can remember, actually, that I'm happy to share. I can remember going to a house party. Mind you, I think it was actually the day. It was probably more like a barbecue. And
so tame.
Did drink too much and my parents had to be phoned and I was driven, picked up by my parents and was hugging a bin in the back of the car, during which my brother, I can't remember, did he take a picture of it? Because that was the time when phones had been introduced. And I was mortified of that. But it is those learning moments, isn't it? And actually, most, not all, but most young people have a moment, have an incident where they drink too much and they wake up feeling like death and think, oh my God, I am not doing that again. What did I do? What did I say? And absolutely, it leads them to adjust their behavior, doesn't it, moving forward, which is that learning. Yeah. And I think there's something really important for us as adults to not to make sure that we don't go into conversations with our young people and say, when I was your age, because actually we're not a teenager in the 21st century. So,
and they don't believe it anyway.
No.
My kids often say, oh, can you imagine mum being at a party? And just wet themselves because they think that's hilarious. And I just say, oh, if only you knew, I am at the party.
But it's letting young people make those mistakes rather than trying to protect them from everything, because it's just not possible. So we need to upskill them, don't we?
Yeah, and let them get those building blocks to healthy adulthood. It's okay to make mistakes. You know, some of you were more clever than your kids, maybe. Maybe your parents didn't see you make the mistake, and that's what's difficult for you. Because sometimes I'm thinking, come on, you should have been sharper than that. Yeah. I should have known about that.
Exactly. If I was to say to you then, what, if you feel comfortable sharing and you might not, what mistake can you think of that you've made that led you to adjust your behavior or do something differently?
Massive one. My first, I'm going to call it adult, but it wasn't because I was 18. My first significant relationship taught me a lot. Big mistake. Big mistake. And I'll not go on about it, but yeah, that was my biggest lesson as an adult of how I never wanted to feel, how I never wanted other people to feel. And actually led me on to be a social worker. So massively impacted on my life. However, if you ask my parents, they would say that was probably the worst 2 years of their life. So it's really interesting. But I got to tell you this as well. Even though what I said all the way at the beginning of this podcast, my parents never judged me for that one. And I always remember my mother had so many opportunities, but she never once said, told you so. And she had told me so. But that sticks with me even to this day. She never said that. And it would have been so easy for her. So huge, huge.
Shows again, doesn't it, the power of that relationship and how vitally important it is.
Yeah. And the evolution of us all, you know, we're not in the 70s anymore. Not moving up to the 90s at that point. And so, you know, life is growing. And I think that's the beauty of life and the beauty of this conversation is that actually what we're talking about is us making the mistakes. Sometimes people responding by making mistakes. And all of those people that we've talked about that might be connected to us personally as well, growing and learning from those mistakes. And that's why we're able to all have these conversations, isn't it?
Absolutely. And how...
You know, talk to my parents as well. What do you regret? What would you have done differently? What have you learned? When did that come from? And again, both of my parents would tell you that some of their biggest learnings come from some of the most difficult life experiences that they had to go through.
Yeah, I think such important conversations to have. And it absolutely comes back to feeling safe enough to be vulnerable, isn't it? Because I can think of a lot of people that would not be leaning into this conversation because of their own histories and experiences of it, where I know probably more than just me and you are listening to this, but I feel safe enough to have this conversation with you and safe enough in the relationships in my life that I can own my mistakes and learn from them.
Yeah, me too. And that your relationships are strong enough that even if you talk about something and then somebody goes, oh, I didn't like that you talked about that. My bad. That was a mistake. I'll not do that again. I love you.
Well, shall we leave it there? I feel like we've waffled, but shared a lot, as always.
I know. It felt like a little bit of a therapy session for me this evening. You know, thank you for that, Vicky. It's been a long day. Like Vicky said earlier on, we're meeting on a nighttime. I'm actually away from home. So we're looking at each other on video. You won't get the joy of looking at us. And I'm very pleased at this time of night because it's not a pretty sight. But no, I really enjoyed connecting with you there, Vicky. And it's made me feel less homesick and like I'm with my people.
Because we're both from Yorkshire.
Yeah, we are. And we'll not do our silly voices, we promise.
But yes, happy March, everybody. We hope it's a good month and we look forward to connecting again in April.
We do. And unfortunately, at that time, I will be 50. So I will enjoy the last remaining part of my 49 years. Take care, everybody. Have a great month. See you soon.
Bye.